Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Arellano. Welcome to this wonderful May Day Wednesday. May's one of my favorite time of the month, although I keep saying that every time. It's like, I love the spring, I love the fall, I love it all. But this is my birthday month, so May always is a little bit special for me. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing well.
Is May anything special for you?
Well, you know, not really, but it's spring, you know, so that's always a good thing. And we all survived the May Day riots of Seattle, so I guess it's a good thing too, you know?
Yeah, well, I was supposed to go downtown and I made the decision not to, just because I didn't want to get caught up in that. So I haven't heard the latest on that. Did they shut anything down? I haven't heard anything on it. I know that there was something going on down there, but I didn't know the details.
Well, just yesterday, there was some troublemakers that decided that amongst all the peaceful protests that were happening, they were going to bust in some windows on Nike Town and I can't remember, American Apparel and some of these other. Yeah, I get the idea. You know, they're anti-corporate, but just seems like you're scaring blue-collar workers, and it's supposed to be International Workers' Day, which is what all the demonstrations were about. Seems, I don't know, to
some
me, counterproductive, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, some people have a lot of passion, but it's a little misdirected, I guess, huh?
Mm.
To each his own.
Yeah, I definitely think that making your voice heard is great, but, you know, bust in a window isn't necessarily a voice, in my opinion.
No, it's not. But this is a show where we do make our voice heard. And I've got some really exciting announcements we want to talk about today. But first, we want to thank Pearson Law Firm, our wonderful sponsor. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson promise. And so we've got two huge announcements that we're going to talk about today. Eric doesn't even know what these announcements are.
I don't. This is brand new. Like, I should be loading up a drum roll here.
You should. Ready?
No. Give me a second.
Okay. Hurry. See. First is we have a new producer. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, the first announcement that we have of the day is Walk the Talk with Kim is now a nonprofit.
Fantastic.
Organization.
Awesome.
Yes. And so what that means is that we can now raise funding to support the programming. And, you know, the mission of Walk the Talk with Kim has and always will be about mission-driven organizations and giving a voice. And it just seemed to make sense that there are a lot of people out there that wanted to support the program in many different ways. So stay tuned for more information on how you can support this organization. And we've had over 65 different nonprofit organizations and mission-driven organizations that have been featured on the show. And we're doing some good out there. There are actually people that are listening. We're very excited about that. And we're expanding our market all the time. And so by going nonprofit, this allows us to even possibly syndicate and go even further across the country of the message of giving a voice to nonprofit organizations. So we're very excited about that. Our second announcement, announcement number two, is to my left, although you can't see her, is the beautiful Miss Lindsay Master. Some of you may remember Lindsay from about a year and a half ago. She came on from DECA. She was a graduate from Mount Si High School. And she also had a great discussion with us about millennials. We talked about millennials, Generation X, and those kinds of things. Well, Lindsay has graciously accepted an offer to be a media producer of the Walk the Talk with Kim show. So Lindsay will be responsible for our Facebook, our social media, for making sure our things get up and posted on time, as well as probably expanded duties we're going to be talking about a little later today. So let's welcome Lindsay. Lindsay, hi.
Hello.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
This is really fun, huh?
It is.
So the last time we talked with you, you were getting ready to go to school. And
yes.
So now you're going to study nursing at Bellevue College.
Yep.
Right across the street. So this works out perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
So what are your thoughts about what the future is going to be like for you in the Walk the Talk with Kim show?
I think it's going to be exciting.
Yay.
I don't know much about where it's going to go, but I think it's all going to be good.
Perfect. That's exactly how we like it. Total ambiguity. That's... Thank you. That is the mantra of the Walk the Talk with Kim show. If there's any process around it, then it ain't creative. So we're living in the world of ambiguity. So welcome, Lindsay. And I know that this is going to be a huge benefit for all of our listeners because some of my weak points are evident. So we're going to get things up in a timely fashion, and you're just going to take us all to the next level and help us out. So we're really lucky to have you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Excellent. All right. Well, we do want to jump in and invite our guest today. So we've had all this really great news and all this exciting things going on. But we do have an incredible nonprofit organization that's joining us today to give a voice to. And we have Tina Peniel and Megan Lehman. They're with an organization called First Book Seattle. Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on the show today, ladies.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I want to ask Tina a question because you mentioned this real briefly. And we were very excited last week when we talked on the show that we had a cash mob with the Issaquah Young Professional Group. And we brought them on the show and talked about on the show. Well, we had quite a few listeners come to the cash mob. And as a person who's on the radio, it's really exciting when you hear that people are actually listening. It's even more exciting when they're listening and they're compelled to action. It's phenomenal when they're listening, called to action, and actually do something and show up and walk the talk. And so for me, that's hugely gratifying. You heard about this opportunity as a listener on the show as well.
I did.
Yeah. You were listening to our episode with Denise Paulette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned getting the word out about your nonprofits.
Yeah.
And I thought, why not ours? So I sent an email. Perfect. And... yeah, I was really grateful. It's been wonderful. We started in November, so getting the word out is really important right now.
Really important. So tell us about your organization.
Well, First Book Seattle is part of a national nonprofit, and we started in November. There's a board of about
eight
of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moms and me, who's not a mom yet, but... local women in the community right now, it's all women that are just really psyched about getting books to kids.
And so what kinds of kids are you helping? Are these underprivileged?
Yeah, we can get books to kids in any Title I school or any community-based organization where at least 70% of the kids are living below the poverty line.
What's a Title I school?
Good question. It's a school, I believe, in Washington State. It's 55% of the kids are receiving free or reduced price lunch. I think I have that percentage right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a school where there are a lot of students who could use some extra resources.
And so do you get these books through book drives? Do you get them mm-hmm. donated? Do you have an arrangement with Scholastic or anything like that? How's that work?
Yeah. Just to the national organization, the way we work is there are 160 chapters across the country, and the chapters are all volunteer run. And each chapter raises funds within, we serve all of King County, so we raise funds within King County. And then we give out book grants to specific schools or Head Start preschools. And they use that book grant to go onto our online marketplace that has 2,000 titles. And they choose, so the teacher chooses the books that fit her kids. We try to get 6 books per kid. And the teacher will select those 6 and they will arrive throughout the school year.
And do they stay in the classroom or do the kids get to take them?
No, they need to go home with the kids. They're usually worked into a lesson plan that day. But then that's our one rule, is they have to go home.
They have to have books at the house.
Yep.
That's great. And so you've been started since November.
Yeah.
So what's the impact been so far? I mean, that we just started the school year. No, Kim, we're almost done with this. I have kids. Trust me. This time of year, we start to get to the end. It's like, I've got 4 more weeks before they come home.
Yeah, we just gave out our first 2 book grants
wonderful.
A couple weeks ago, actually, to Kent Health and Human Services. They have a pilot program for their kindergartners, for a small group of kindergartners, primarily the Somali immigrant population. And they're working with a group, many of whose parents are also illiterate, and they're working to break the cycle. And so they have this intensive program where these kindergartners and their parents are getting literacy coaching. And their program director reached out to us and said, we need to get a book grant to these kids now. And so we had one small granting cycle this spring, and they were one of the two first groups that we served. So there are 25 kids, and we're giving 6 books a piece to them. And then we also are giving 2 books a piece to 4 Head Start preschools run through Neighborhood House.
Wonderful.
So that's 504 books out the door.
Exactly. Yeah. 504 books. That's awesome.
And we've raised enough already to know that we'll be getting at least 3,000 books out the door this year. But we'll see what the rest of the year holds.
What's your big plan?
So many. Our big plan for the year?
For the year.
Well, our fundraising goal is to raise $15,000.
How many books does $15,000 buy?
It buys a lot of books. The books on our online marketplace, books cost on average $2.50 a piece. Because we're completely volunteer-run, whenever we get a donation of $2.50, we pass that on, and that is a book in a kid's hand. So it's a lot of books. That's what drew me to First Book, is just the incredible efficiency of the mechanism they've set up. We can get books out the door so cheaply and so quickly.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to see the kids receive the books?
No, that's coming up this month. Hopefully. We had a board meeting last night, and we're just talking about hoping to join the first distributions.
Yeah.
We did have the National Book Bank came to Seattle a couple weeks ago, and where we got 350,000 books out the door, and one of our board members got to go along to a school that was picking up books, and she was telling us about it last night, how she took a couple pictures, but most of the kids weren't even looking up, because they're just, you know, they tore into the boxes and were just sitting there reading their books as soon as they came. So.
I can imagine. That's how I am when my books come, too. I don't talk to mom for about an hour.
Yeah.
And there's no pictures in the books I'm looking at. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about First Book and the impact that's going to have in our community. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on Alternative Talk, KKNW, AM 1150. I am giving you.
Mountside Gymnastics Academy is now open in North Bend, offering gymnastics classes and summer camps to get your little ones and big ones moving this spring and summer. From recreation classes to competitive team, they have the gymnastics scene covered in the valley. Visit them online at www.mountsidegymnasticsacademy.com or call 425-292-3152. Get your kids flipping and twisting into summer.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
Accelerated weight loss, and everyone's a winner. You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days. It's about science, not celebrities. No HCG, just award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. Join 10,000 satisfied clients. For information, contact myweightlosswellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson. And with my wife, Michelle, we're local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been harmed or wronged in our communities. If you have a personal injury from a car crash or a property hazard, an industrial injury, a defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, the Pearson Law Firm can help you anywhere, anytime. Contact us today for a free case evaluation at 1-800-423-8473. That number again is 1-800-423-8473. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. I'm giving you a letter, look every day, every day. I'm writing down.
You're listening to KKNW AM 1150. I missed my cue there, Eric. You didn't give me a visual.
I did, but you must have.
I wasn't looking
at.
I was looking right past you. I was getting into the groove. You got to love a little Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
Well, this is Kids Month, and we talked about this last week. This is Kids Month on the Walk the Talk with Kim show, and all of our guests for the month of May.
Maybe we should change the name to Walk the Talk with Kids for a month.
Why not? You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kids.
All right.
You'll have to remind me. I like that. That sounds good. Yeah. So we're going to have people coming on and talking about fitness. We're going to have Kim Estes with the Savvy Mom come on and talk about child safety again. And the reason why we wanted to do kids this month, first of all, when the universe says this is the direction we're going, I just kind of say cool because I don't like paddling upstream. So I just go with it. And it seems like guest after guest just kind of started lining up and it's all about kids, whether it's about literacy or fitness or whatever have you. And the second part is we are going into the summertime and the kids are home and we need to find something for them to do. So some of the people that are going to come on are going to talk about kids programs. But I did want to bring attention, and I don't know if you recognize listeners on our commercial break, that we did have a sponsor. It's Mount Si Gymnastics up in Snoqualmie. It's a great little organization. It was a bunch of moms that have girls on gymnastics teams that got together and opened up a gym of all things. And so they've got this gymnastics team out there and they've got really good program going. Incredible women, incredible men and dads and incredible kids. So if you're in the area and you are looking for a great summer program, consider Mount Si Gymnastics. And if you've got little girls that are ready to do some tumbling, they've got an incredible facility. Little boys, too. My son, Vincent, he's 7 years old. He can do karate. He can do swimming. He can do whatever. But he chose to do gymnastics. And I think it's because he likes the coaches. They're cute. And I also think it's because he likes the trampoline.
You got to have priorities in life.
Probably shouldn't have put those two together.
Attractive coaches and bouncing. Yeah, you know?
Not a good thing.
It's all good.
Anyway, so Anyway, I'm turning red. So we're listening. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kids. And we have Tina Peniel and Megan Langman on with us on this May regarding First Book Seattle. So one of the questions that I had is, we know that there's a problem with literacy. And I think that you said something about languages and different languages and in ESL. I hadn't thought about using books to help people learn different languages. Do you have some grasp and understanding on what the problem is in King County specifically with kids not having enough books? Do you have some of those facts and figures and
I know
data?
That the 2010 census numbers, I think, just came out, and 16% of the kids in King County, are living below the poverty line. And we know that those kids don't have as many books as their peers living above the poverty line. Mm-hmm. And with languages, you know, one thing that I like about the books available through First Book is that they can actually get, you don't have to get the books in English. You can get your board books in Arabic or in Spanish or whatever language you want. So it can help the parents support their native language as well.
Very great. And so where did the books come from? I mean, are they donated or written or what's the...
Some are donated. Some are purchased extremely cheaply. First Book nationally has deals with a lot of big publishers that, for example, when they're about to put a fourth edition of their book out, they'll give us the third edition, the remainder of the third edition.
Gotcha.
We get a lot of overstock. We get... mostly donated. Some are sold at an extreme discount.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's kind of what would go in the bargain bin. We get to instead get those books out the door. We have a range of award-winning titles as well. We get the Caldecotts and the Newberries.
So it's not, is it just First Book, meaning your first reader book, or is it books for, are there all ages?
Up to 18. We have SAT prep books. We have e-books. We have board books. We have all kinds of fiction, poetry.
Excellent.
All kinds of titles.
And so what got you both involved in this? What happened that said, I need to be a part of this organization?
I have an amazing sister-in-law who I hope is listening out in Cleveland, Ohio. And she was on a board out there and recommended it to me. She thought it would be something that it would be easy and something that I'd be interested in doing. So she told me about it last year. And she had actually heard before I did that Seattle was starting a first book chapter. So and she and my brother together read to my niece all the time. And it's a huge part of their life. They're all voracious readers. And I can see the difference that it's making in my niece's life already. And she's 4 and a half. So I want to help spread that advantage to other kids.
What a great calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
And my story is that I'm a stay-at-home mom and a freelance writer. And I was reading the New York Times in the middle of the night a few months ago, a year ago now, I guess, and came across an article there about First Book and was just blown away by how they get so many books out the door. I have a 4.5-year-old and a 2-year-old at home, and my 4.5-year-old has just started the early part of reading, and thinking about the fact that he's still a year out from kindergarten, the other kids in his classroom, if they haven't had access to books in these early years, that's the achievement gap opening up already, and it just felt like something I needed to be part of addressing.
I remember my pediatrician telling me, you know, back in the day when we were raised, I'm assuming we're right around the same age. I'm a little older than all of you, I'm sure. But that we stayed home with mom, mm-hmm. right, in their late 60s, early 70s. And I know you're not part of this, Lindsay.
Nope.
Not even close. I don't even talk about that. But then, so about 5 o'clock or five years old is when we were introduced. And that he was telling me that kids are introduced to social situations and to books and to reading and writing. And that if you wait until kindergarten to get your kids involved in those things, including socialization, that they, like you said, they're already going to be behind.
Mm-hmm. I think
which I thought was kind of sad in a way, but yeah. In another way, I can see how it's critical to make sure that those kids get books as early as possible.
Yeah, I think that's one of the ideas behind the Washington State early literacy plan, is that this preparation gap opens up and then the achievement gap follows it, and it is so hard to breach it. I used to work for Teach for America as well, and just watching the achievement gap widen over the years is something it's hard not to take action.
Startling.
Yeah.
Now, you have an event coming up that you guys are telling me about. You want to tell folks about it?
Yeah, absolutely. On May 19th, we are having a read-a-thon called What Was Your First Book?, where we have 20 different community members, from policemen to firefighters to Congressman Jim McDermott to Sherman Alexie, and other librarians. We have a monorail driver, all of whom are sharing the very first book that they fell in love with as a kid, because we want to get back to that spark. What was the book that hooked you, that you kept reading again and again? So they're all going to, it's a 4-hour drop-in event, and they're going to take turns just sitting down in a chair and reading that book to kids. Our goal with the event is to raise the funds to give 20 Title I classrooms a full year's book diet of 6 books.
So, and that's going to take $15,000 to
do
that?
No, that is $6,600.
$6,600.
Yes.
So 20 title, that's a lot of books.
Yep.
Now, you guys don't have to keep inventory. You order it and they're
shipped directly to the schools.
Great. And I'm sorry, that's at Elliott Bay?
It's at Elliott Bay Books in Capitol Hill on 10th between Pike and Pine. And you can drop by for one story or six or...
And that's May 19th 20. At what time?
11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And we also have raffles going on, and we have the mayor and a few local poets have donated their copies of the first book that they loved with an inscription. And so some lucky silent auction winners will get to take those books home. But it's an informal celebratory event. We want to share with the community that first spark of falling in love with reading and talk about how we can share that as a community.
Excellent. And I have when we come back, we're going to talk. I'm interested in how you got hooked up with the mayor and how the folks have jumped in to kind of help you. Because I think when we talk nonprofits, that a lot of the challenge that nonprofits have is they work kind of in the silo and getting connected to the right people that can help you. So I'm interested in your knowledge there, and I'm sure our listeners are too, on how you made those connections. It sounds kind of fascinating how that all happened. And then I want to talk. You sparked my interest on this poetry because I think you mentioned before that you had done poetry on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I'm always fascinated when we talk to musicians or people that are part of the scene, whatever that scene is, because I'm not part of the poetry scene, but I'd love to learn about it. And I'm sure our listeners would too. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with our wonderful ladies, Megan and Tina, about First Book and First Book Seattle. And don't forget, the event is going to be on May 19th at Elliott Bay Books. And our new media person, our media director, will have all that stuff posted for you on Facebook. She's nodding yes. And thank you for listening. And come on back. We'll be talking more.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977, we at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days with the My Weight Loss to Wellness Accelerated Weight Loss Program. No celebrities, no HCG, and no prepackaged food. See results in just 7 days. We use award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. For information, contact myweightlosstowellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Do you wish you could train your brain to be more creative? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has trained individuals at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. Learn our proven process to think creatively and make great ideas happen. Our trainings are offered in person and online. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Have you heard the phrase, "The beatings will continue until morale improves"? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I know what the problem is that monitor is too high. So you give me the go-ahead and I don't see it because I can't see it.
Well,
there you go.
For let me be more demonstrative
there,
from now on when
yes,
I say,
exactly.
You're on.
This has never been a problem before, and all of a sudden, do you have an extra monitor or something?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just sitting closer to the monitors than I was before.
Maybe you are. Maybe you're sabotaging me. That's it. You want to see me
not
squirm?
On purpose.
Oh,
not on
okay.
purpose.
No, I know. You never would. I might sabotage you from time to time just for fun, but you'd never sabotage me, right?
Of course
never.
Not.
Of course not. No, because we're good friends and buddies. That's the way it is on the Walk the Talk with Kids show this month for the month of May. We are talking with the ladies who started First Book Seattle, Tina Peniel and Megan Lehman. And Megan, you brought up something that brought a smile to me, and I think we should talk about it because I think our listeners probably got the same reaction when you said, what was your first book?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of went, oh, I remember my first book. So what was your first book, Eric?
Oh, going to me first.
Yes.
Okay.
I just made that knee-jerk reaction.
Well, it's not the first book I ever read, right? It's the first book that I really connected with or, you know, read over and over. Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of the Dr. Seuss books as a kid, and Horton Hears a Who was a particular favorite of mine. So I must have, I even had the record of it. So
interesting.
The early days of audiobooks, vinyl. So I listened to that and read it several times over, and as well as, you know, the Cat in the Hat and the Sneetches and all that stuff. So
do you remember it?
Yeah, well, a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Could you do a line?
Oh, no. No,
not off the bat. So I didn't read Dr. Seuss when I was really little, so I don't remember any of those books.
Well, it's never too late to start.
No, I guess I'm going to have to with my own kids. Did you go to the movie? Wasn't there a movie, Horton Hears a Who, with the elephant?
I skipped that. I'm no longer in the target audience.
Okay. I think I saw it because my kids
Horton
saw it.
Hears a Who, but,
exactly.
And I didn't see the Lorax either. But I prefer to think of them as the short stories that they were rather than being stretched out to 90
minutes.
How
about The Grinch? Did you see how The Grinch Stole Christmas in book form or television form first?
Probably television form, to be
there
honest.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. So Horton Hears a Who. That was your first one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember? What feeling does it give you when you think about that book?
Well, I don't know. Being a kid, you know, you're small and you feel unprotected, I guess, sometimes, you know. And that whole book was about who's were tiny, tiny creatures that Horton, the big elephant, heard, and he had such sensitive hearing that only he could hear them, really, and he protected the little who's. So I guess I could relate to that, not wanting to be in danger from the big bad world when you're a tiny who.
This is where my psychology research brain kind of kicks in, where I'm going, okay, so we know there's certain periods in time when our brains open up to look at the world around us. And it would make sense that books would be an active part of that process. So that's it. Not that I'm psychoanalyzing here, because I'm not.
Please stop.
But stop. Yeah, stop it. No, don't psychoanalyze me, Frazier. But it's just interesting how we make those connections right when we meet them. What about someone else? What about you, Lindsay? What was your first one? Do you remember?
Well, I had collections of books. So in addition to Dr. Seuss, it was Arthur and Mercer Mayer for me.
I don't know. Who's Arthur and Mercer Mayer?
Arthur, he's also on the PBS shows, the little aardvark, and he's got all his friends, D.W., Francine, Buster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Mercer Mayer was Little Critter.
Never heard of it. No, that's that's a generational thing, I guess, huh?
I guess so.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. What does it bring up for you when you think about your first book? What was so great about those books?
It was great because I got to sit down with my mom and we'd go through. I had a big book of the Mercer Mayer that had six of the stories, and we'd go through them all in one sitting and just cuddle up in her arm and be jealous of Little Critter and his awesome life.
Fun. Oh, that's so much fun. Mine was The Monster at the End of the Book.
And oh, that was a good one.
I love that one. It was so suspenseful, and it was a trick at the end.
Right.
But I remember I was a little kid in Chicago, and I remember reading through that book with my mom. And it was just, of course, she made it really dramatic because every time it's don't turn the page because there's a monster. You don't want to get to the end of the book because there's a monster. And I just remember giggling and laughing. Of course, every time you read it again as a little kid, you think the ending might be different. So you're just as excited when you go through it. So that's the one that I remember when I was little. What about you, ladies?
First, I also want to say a couple other readers in the readathon picked The Monster at the End of this book. And I've been reading that with my kids lately.
Oh, yeah. I hope I didn't give the ending away.
I wouldn't call it a trick ending. I love the ending.
I love the ending, too.
It's wonderful. Mine was, I think, The Little Engine That Could. And it was, when I think of that book, I remember the page in which they're packing all of the toys and specifically the food onto the train and the little dancing spinach and the little running around orange. And there's my toddler scribbles all over that page because I just, for whatever reason, that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen.
And look, and now you turned into an author. Your own creative contribution. That's so awesome. What about you, Tina?
Mine was The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And I still, as you were talking, Megan, I still remember the way that book smells. And I'm not sure if it was just our home that made it smell that way or if it was the book itself. But I remember the smell of it and like all the little pages that you turn as the caterpillar is eating its way through all the apples and oranges and things. And then the big message in it, the metamorphosis into a butterfly, I think is a really great message in a book.
I love the smell of books.
Yeah.
I love the smell. Yeah. It's funny. So I got Kindle, and so you don't get the book smell on Kindle. And there's just something missing, you know, getting all your books and stuff on electronic format. I just think that
maybe they'll come out with an app for that.
Smell of vision or smell of.
Yes.
Exactly.
Ink spray that comes out.
There's just something about holding that
smudges
book.
Your fingers too at the same time.
You got to hold it upside down while you're reading. And fortunately, when you're holding these things, they're a little heavy. So if you hold them upside down, you lose them. You bash yourself in the face. And
I want to give a shout out also to Harold and the Purple Crayon. That was a favorite.
Yes, that was a good one. Yeah, that was a really good one. When I was little, my grandmother was really into or gave all these Oz books, the old Oz books, the original Oz books.
Those were good,
and
too.
Everybody knows about The Wizard of Oz, but the movie, that's not The Wizard of Oz book. That's just wrong. But the whole 14 that Frank L. Baum actually wrote, I've got those in the original that were given to my dad and my uncle. And those are very precious books to me. Those were awesome.
My mom read that to us, the original, when we were kids. And it's so different than the movie.
Yeah. I read the first one with my kids. And it's this is a little kind of violent. But it was good. And then when you learn that it was really a social commentary on the political infrastructure and system that he was writing about in the form. Yeah, it's Frank L. Baum is an incredible creative soul, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. What other books are on the list? You said that you had the reader list.
All right, let's see. We've got Jennifer Zahn, who's a student at Overlake High School, is going to be reading some of The Phantom Tollbooth. We have an Air Force pilot, Brendan Harrison, who's going to be reading Football Fugitive. I don't know that one.
I don't either.
And Misha Stone, a Seattle Public Librarian, is going to read from Frog and Toad Together, which is one of my favorite series. The fire department is going to be reading The Fire Cat by Esther Averill. Don't have the police department's books yet. And I know that the Seattle monorail driver, Craig Nelson, is a fan of The Little Red Hen.
Oh.
As is poet Martha Solano. And Congressman Jim McDermott is going to be reading The Black Tanker, which I have not read. I'm going to be curious to hear that one. Sherman Alexie is reading The Snowy Day, the Ezra Jack Keats book that has those beautiful collage pictures. And Paul Constant, the Stranger columnist, is going to be reading The Monster at the End of this book.
Oh, awesome.
As is Jenny Ritchie. And we have Aaron Dunlap, a Seattle Public Schools teacher, who's going to be reading Blueberries for Sal, which is another book with gorgeous illustrations.
Wow.
And let's see. Elizabeth Cruz is going to be reading Wait Till the Moon is Full by Margaret Wise Brown. Is she the Goodnight Moon? I'm going to think possibly.
I don't remember.
And Jody Hall, the owner of Cupcake Royale, is going to be reading a couple poems from Where the Sidewalk Ends, the Shel Silverstein book.
Oh, that's a favorite. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody's like, that's a good one.
And then a couple others. Damon Arundel is a spoken word poet. He's going to be reading Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh,
always
better.
A fun book to read. And Brian McWegan, the program director at Richard Hugo House, is also going to be reading some Shel Silverstein from Light in the Attic. And then Lacey Jane Henson, who's the organizer of a local reading series, The Off Hours, is going to be reading Gnomes by Will Hygin, which I think that's the same book that I had when I was a kid. I think it's a little kind of creepy. It's this picture of this gnome world. I just remember these huge illustrations of under the trees.
I think I remember that.
Yeah,
actually, it's almost like an encyclopedia of gnomes and gnome life. And
yes,
I remember that as well.
So those are
gnomes are interesting creatures. They kind of go into the whole clown category where they either think they're really cute or they wake you out.
Right. So so those are the books that we're going to get to hear on the 19th.
How fun. Nobody's doing the Laura Ingalls Wilder books.
I know. There are a few, and there's no Seuss. Speaking of Horton Hears a Who, it's surprising to hear what books, also like which ones, that the monster at the end of this book would be such a popular one.
I didn't think anybody else read that book either.
Right. But it's big. Like it's, and the Little Red Hen has a couple people who go back to it, so...
And so you're a writer. You're free. What
I'm
type
a
of
poet.
Writing? You're a poet. So what types of poetry do you do?
I am working right now on a research-based project about Lewis and Clark's arrival at the Pacific and how we talk about that to children.
Interesting.
It's my very unrelated poetry project. And I wrote a book a couple years ago that is just a split narrative about family, what holds families together, and where we choose to live. It's set out in the Pacific Northwest on the coast, and that kind of sparked my interest in research-based poetry.
I've never heard of such a thing. Oh, we're going to have to learn more about that.
It's having kids at home. I find that it's easier to have a bookmark in, a big scholarly book than to be just sitting down to a blank page.
I hear that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up our session here. And also, I have a class that's coming up I want to tell you about. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim.
The book of love is long and boring. No one can lift the damn thing. It's full of charts and facts and figures and instructions for dancing.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and at our firm, whether we're working on an automobile crash case or helping a client who's been injured by a defective product, we focus on justice. We're passionate about serving our clients. Our successful approach focuses on the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. We focus on collaboration and cooperation. Clients support that process, and they respect our abilities to manage the legal process, to demystify it, and to explain choices and opportunities, and also their responsibilities. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's PearsonLawFirm.com. Or you can check us out at WalkTheTalkWithKim.com.
Lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days and be that sexy Valentine again. We offer a rapid, effective, and safe program that transforms your health as fast as it transforms your body. For information, contact myweightloss2wellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Does your organization crave new ideas? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has inspired creative thinking at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. We help you imagine new offerings, strategies, or ways of doing business. Our proven processes and engaging workshops deliver powerful results. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Mountside Gymnastics Academy is now open in North Bend, offering gymnastics classes and summer camps to get your little ones and big ones moving this spring and summer. From recreation classes to competitive team, they have the gymnastics scene covered in the valley. Visit them online at www.mountsidegymnasticsacademy.com or call 425-292-3152. Get your kids flipping and twisting into summer.
1150KKNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I love it when you read to me and you. You can read me anything.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kids. It's May, it's Kids Month, and we are talking about First Book. And we are talking about it with Tina Peniel and Megan Lehman. And we're wrapping this up. And, you know, every time we hear the same thing, the time goes by so fast. So we want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you. But you did want to talk about this year, what this year's been like for you.
Yeah, we started off in late March with an event sponsored by Cheerios, their Spoonful of Stories series, where we had local author Lori Isop reading at Mockingbird Books to an audience of about 40 rapt kids. And then we had the National Book Bank came to Seattle, which was big for us. And now we have a volunteer fair next week at KPMG on May 9th from 8:30 to 10 a.m. And then we've got our big What Was Your First Book readathon May 19th at Elliott Bay Books starting at 11 a.m., and then in the fall, October 1st, is our first big book grant application deadline. So any registered recipient group, I mentioned earlier we've had almost 70 register in the last 2 months. Any recipient group, so any community-based organization serving primarily low-income kids or teacher in a Title I school, can register with us and submit an application October 1st to receive free books for their kids. And we're really excited to start getting out the door some of the books that we've been receiving fantastic donations so far this year towards. It's really exciting to have been part of founding this chapter together as this, you know, group of eight people from such different backgrounds working slowly to this point that we're at now where books are starting to go out the door and into the hands of kids.
And you've been doing this since November? Not very slow.
Well, we started meeting in April. We started slowly founding our chapter. We got our official status in November. And you were asking how we got the mayor and a congressman involved and other folks. And we're not a really well-connected board. We just keep asking. I think, you know, I mentioned I'm a writer. There's another writer on the board as well. And I think we're used to hearing no and keeping going. And so I think it's been wonderful to be part of something where it feels like just about everything we ask for is met with a yes. And we've received so many in-kind donations for our raffle at this event and just, you know, so many of these featured readers, all of whom are fundraising on our behalf also. They're each gathering pledges to support their reading. I mean, everyone has just welcomed this with open arms, and I think the fact that we've had so many recipient groups sign up with us so early shows that there's a real need that we can meet. And we can get, I was mentioning that we just got the 2010 census numbers, And so with 66,126 kids in King County below the poverty line, we can get 6 books to each one of those kids for less than $1 million. You can do it for $991,890. And that's our long, long, long-term goal, is to meet that need to get books into every kid's hands. And I feel like here, I grew up in Baltimore, which had the highest illiteracy rate in the country and also the highest teen pregnancy rate. And I feel like here in King County, we can do this. You know, we can get these books into kids' hands. We can give every kid a real chance at school. We can make the world a little fairer around us.
So how does somebody learn more about your organization or get connected so that when you're doing things, whatever's next for the board? And I know we were talking a little bit about how do we get people to raise, you know, maybe kids from school to raise money for kids to get books at other schools. You know, and I know you're not going to boil the ocean right away, but you're, when you're motivated, when you're in the flow, I think that's one of the things we're going to talk a little bit about that in a couple of minutes. But when you're, when things start to line up and open for you, it's because that was the direction you were supposed to be. I really firmly believe that. The fact that Tina made the effort to reach out to me to get on the show is an example. I mean, I've got open spots all the time. And I don't go out that far in advance, and I don't really go out looking for nonprofits. They find me right when they need me. And so if anybody's out there listening, was this a horrible experience for you too, coming on the show today?
So much fun.
Pretty easy, huh? Easy. Right? So, you know, folks, reach out. We've got a new media producer here that can tell us how we're going to get a hold of getting more people on the show. But we'll get that information out to you. You can get more information on walkthetalkwithkim.com, soon to be walkthetalkwithkim.org. But how do people get a hold of you? What about your Facebook page? And
So our website, which has a lot more about our big May 19th event, is www.firstbook.org/Seattle. And you can also find us on Facebook. We just started our blog, which is first-book-seattle.blogspot.com. And you can email us at seattle@firstbook.org.
Sorry, seattle.firstbook.org?
Seattle@firstbook.org is our email.
Seattle@firstbook.org.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing this down because this will go on our Walk the Talk with Kim Facebook page.
Yeah, and we're looking for volunteers.
Okay.
We're also looking, we'd love to end spring with a couple more board members. We're a working board, and we've got 8 right now. We'd love to get to 10 or even 12 in the next few months.
Okay, so you're looking for volunteers, specifically for board members?
Volunteers to help with an event or to help with any ongoing project. If you take pictures and would be up for coming to one of our events and photographing it, if you would like to help us work on our blog, anything. We would love help.
Anything. Any kind of help. Firstbook.org/Seattle. That's right.
Yep.
That's the right email.
Yep.
And we'll get that information on Walk the Talk with Kim Facebook page. Thank you, Tina and Megan, for coming on today. We appreciated it.
Thanks so much for having us.
Of course. You guys were great. Thank you. So much work we have to do out there. So I want to thank everybody for helping out our nonprofit organizations. Before we go, I keep forgetting. So I have this opportunity to talk about my own business and what we're doing, and I constantly forget. But here we are. I was reminded by our wonderful media producer over here. She says, don't you have a class coming up? Oh, yeah. I got to talk about the class. So on May 21st at the Meadow Creek Business Center in Issaquah, I am running a free class. It's a class on hovering attention. It's an opportunity to learn how to ground yourself and be able to see the real situation and what people are really thinking, not what they're saying, but what they're really feeling around you. It's the first of a 10-part series where we really dive into understanding human patterns, human behaviors that can help us in our business. If you're a sales rep, it helps you sell better. If you're a parent, it helps you with your kids. If you're a boss, it helps you with your employees. And this is all really in an effort to create a workplace environment that really opens people up to their innovation and their creativity. I use this in my business and my own walk the talk here, just opening up the space. And it all starts with hovering attention. And Lindsay took the hovering attention class.
I did.
About a month ago.
Yeah.
What'd you think, real quick? What do you think?
I love it. It's applicable in life and work and public life and private life and everything.
Excellent. Well, that's free. And it's that first class is, and it's going to be again on May 21st. That's a Monday from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. You can get more information on workforceevolution.com or email me at info@workforceevolution.com. Look around you, see who needs help, and go help a nonprofit or mission-driven organization, and have a beautiful day. It's a beautiful